Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan, and I have Mikey and John joining me for a Michigan preview episode. Illinois going up to Ann Arbor, 11 a.m. game, ABC, number three team in the country. They're undefeated. We're coming off a couple disappointing losses. Do we have anything left in the tank?
We do. Yes, we do. We touched on it in our, post-game Purdue reactions. You know, obviously a lot of emotions surrounding this program right now. But we're 7-3. We have a lot to be, happy for, proud of, whatever way you want to word it. But we've shown what type of team we can be. But having a game like Michigan going into their house, into Ann Arbor, 110,000 screaming people, there's no better opportunity for a program. You know, it's going to be on national television. There's no better opportunity for a program like Illinois, because Michigan's going to be worried about next week, traveling to Columbus to play the Buckeyes, and they think it's going to be a 2-3 matchup. You know, winner wins the East, and we'll probably get in the college football playoff. So, they're thinking about other things than Illinois, because, after what we've shown the last 2 weeks, they're probably thinking, it's just going to be a cakewalk. But, I have confidence in our team. We were a 17-point favorite against Michigan State. They beat us. 17-point underdog against Michigan. Watch out for the upset.
For as agitated and upset and emotional that I was in the Purdue reaction pod, not gonna lie to you guys, I needed to get that out of my system because I love the spot for us.
Oh
like,
boy.
This is like a classic, I feel like, Brett Bielema spot where he's gonna get the guys like fired up. And I feel like I've been saying that, I don't know, maybe the past couple weeks in terms of like, but the fact that we have the data point that we can look to last year against Penn State, it's like, it's almost eerie how similar they are in terms of like, those are two of the largest stadiums, I think, in like the entirety of the world or something like that. Like, I think there's number one is in North Korea, and then number two is like the big house, I want to say, or something like that. Or I don't know.
Whatever. John's deep dives of the week right here.
Yeah. It's one of those where like, luckily they have that experience to fall back on for some of those guys. And the fact that Brett can just like preach, I love that spot because, Mikey, like you just said, like people are not going, like it's not quite the same as the Michigan State game, but everyone was counting Michigan State out. They were writing in the win for Illinois. They were saying too many suspensions. Mel Tucker doesn't have, control of the team. He's too busy, talking about the potential suspensions or police activity on Sunday and Monday. He's not even really talking about game planning. He doesn't have the guys ready. Like, they're going to go in and get curb stopped going to Champaign against the hottest team in the West. It's like, it's eerily similar to like, oh yeah, like, Michigan's rolling, they're going to be able to curve because they've got to, look fresh for the college football playoff committee so that, even if it's a close loss against Ohio State, they've got some really good, quality wins and they're looking really good. And it's like the Illinois team is, kind of falling off after they've lost their luster. It's like, there's enough parallels that just the classic buy low, sell high. And I don't think we match up that poorly with Michigan either. That's the thing. If we were going up against an Ohio State, I could see it because they have so much talent offensively. I just like the Michigan identity is an incredible identity. I think that that's what Brett Bielema wants to build his team to. Yep. I get that. But that means that we match up with them pretty well because we're trying to become that as quickly as possible.
I was just about to say the matchup, two very hard-nosed football teams. They're going to play sound defense. They're going to run the ball. Like, we know they have Blake Corum, who's having his own Heisman campaign over there. He's had a great year. And Harbaugh likes that hard-nosed football style. And that's what Bielema, to your point, is trying to build. So whether we have Chase Brown or not, I think it is still a good matchup. We're going to run the ball hard. And I'm curious, as we saw last year when we went to Penn State, we kind of unveiled a new package, something that wasn't on film, something to throw them off. We did that barge package. I don't know that we'll do the barge package specifically, but I would not be shocked, and I'm curious if you guys think this too, if we come out with some new look that we haven't even, thought about showing. And I don't know if that's something as crazy as like, oh, let's show some more Isaiah Wildcat packages, or if that's like, I don't know, a three tight end set, or we spread them out and go five wide all day and try to completely throw them off guard. But Like I would not be shocked if we do something that's completely out of the norm for us on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't be shocked either. You know, I would like to say it would probably be something with Isaiah Williams, just finding more ways to get him involved, to get him the ball, just because he's such a dynamic playmaker. And, you know, obviously he was a former quarterback, so his ability to throw the ball, you know, allows a lot of those plays to happen because the defense has to respect, you know, his arm. But, you know, as you guys both just mentioned, I think we're all thinking the same thing. You know, the key to the game for me is going to be our defensive run stopping, particularly our defensive line. If they're able to have a good game and, you know, shut down Blake Corum, then I think we'll have a chance. I don't think it's going to be any sort of shootout. You know, I don't think our offense is going to come out and put up 42 points. You know, we'll win this game because of our defense.
Yeah, Danny, to your question about any kind of special package, I don't know if they'll have a couple of wrinkles, because that's like a classic Brett Bielema staple. He's always got a couple in the chamber. So I'm not thinking it'll be anything too crazy, especially since I think he's got the guys a lot more comfortable, a lot more buying in. It's not necessarily we need a gimmick for an entire game type thing. And I think the blueprint is kind of what happened against UTSA last year. I know that's kind of like not necessarily a stretch, but a weird place to go back to. But I remember sitting talking on the podcast, talking about, okay, UTSA, like, you know, they're a good team, but they got like small offensive linemen and, you know, they're a lesser program. And then they came in with Barry Lunny Jr. and they didn't really beat us to death with like a bunch of explosive plays. They just kind of like had a very efficient passing game. They got obviously still some great talent there, but they also ran, like, Sincere McCormick was running all over us. And that was a surprise, I think, to like even the Illini defense at that time. Mm-hmm. And I think if we can kind of do something similar with, I don't know, the O-line is going to have to play their butts off. They're going to have their best game of the year. But I think if you know, even if Chase Brown isn't available, even if Josh McCray isn't 100%, even if you're going to Chase Hayden, to Reggie Love, to Aiden Lawfrey or Jordan Anderson, whoever you're going to, and maybe it takes one of those, maybe that's the special wrinkle, is that Jordan Anderson is just going to come out and just bruise the Michigan defense and they're not going to have anything for him because they haven't seen a physical freak like that all year. I don't know, but I just think that the you have to be obviously as efficient as possible on offense, but you just need to hit him in the mouth. You need to, like, they're not going to, it's the old boxing adage. It's like, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face. You got to go out there and you got to punch them in the face as soon as possible on offense, because then you're going to have them all out of sorts. And then you're going to be able to hopefully dictate the game from there.
Given some of the injuries that have piled up, especially at the running back position, do you still think we, you know, establish the run, quote unquote, or do you think, you know, we got to kind of do it with Tommy DeVito's arm this week?
I think, you know, we got to establish the run. That's been our identity as a team. You know, that's one we're continuing to strive for week in and week out. So, you know, Chase Brown, if he's out, you know, I still look, you know, for whoever's in there, for them to pound the rock, try to get that game going early to open up things in the passing lane and allow Tommy to be the manager, the efficient quarterback that he's been all year long. But if we are unable to, you know, go out there, establish the run, put some drives together, you know, accumulate some first downs, limit the three and outs, limit the, you know, second, third and longs, then we'll put ourselves in a chance to win. But, you know, for us to come out, you know, start gunslinging, I don't see that, you know, the probability of that being super high. Considering, you know, we have not been able to do that much all year long, and we've relied so heavy on our run game.
Yeah, I think, too, for the reliance on the run game, it also comes down to, like, the importance of Chase Brown in the passing game, not only as a receiver, but his pass blocking has improved immensely this year. That is one of the things that he will get drafted, not only because of his production, but because he's a willing pass blocker this year. And that's something where I don't know if they necessarily, I'm not saying that Reggie Love and Chase Hayden can't, and that the two true freshmen, you know, aren't going to try, but they might not have, you know, the wherewithal or as many reps to be able to do it. So then you're also limiting yourself if you're going to be passing a bunch, because then you're going to, and also, like, even the offensive line itself hasn't looked too great in terms of pass pro in the past couple weeks. So you're going to need to then, you know, max protect or, you know, keep a tight end into either chip or stay home. And then you're really limiting your options. So you're going to need that pass game to be working. So then you can have, you know, three-man route concepts where you're keeping guys in to still block if there needs some development. But because of the run game being so successful, you can have those three men out there, but still getting open. And so it will be important, obviously, to pass the ball. You need to. Like, you need to be successful, especially against a Michigan defense that's probably going to be crowding the line and daring you to beat you, you know, with something deep because they think they can get home. But I don't know. It's just, I think that they're still going to try and establish the run. You know, maybe it isn't the reliance that we've seen when you have a healthy Chase Brown, but that's understandable. Like, I wouldn't think that they would give, you know, 40 carries split among Reggie Love, Chase Hayden, and one of the true freshmen. You know, maybe you get Tommy DeVito a little bit more involved. Maybe that's what the answer is, with a little bit more read option action. But I think that, yeah, you still, the importance of the run game cannot be overstated.
And then on the other side of the ball, like, we've had some injuries pile up at the cornerback position. Michigan's got J.J. McCarthy in there who can throw the ball around a little bit. They have a couple good receivers. What do you guys see in that matchup? And, you know, how do you expect them to attack us?
Yeah, you know, JJ, it's going to be important because he, you know, he's great running with the ball as well. So we're going to have to keep contain on him, our linebackers. I'm sure we'll always have somebody, you know, spying him just because what he's proven he can do with his legs. In our back half, you know, Devin Witherspoon, got to have another big game. You know, Quan Martin needs to have a big game. Linebacker crew, you know, Dark Angelo, little sneak peek, but he's actually going to be my pick of the week since we're on that topic. You know, but hopefully, you know, our defensive line, specifically the law firm, will be able to get that pressure that we've seen all year long. We'll be able to contain, you know, hit JJ early, get him out of rhythm, because once he gets in rhythm, him and Harbaugh, you know, are pretty unstoppable.
Yeah, Mikey, I totally agree. And in the theme of just absolutely exposing our picks early, I'm going with the law firm as my pick of the week, which I know is kind of cheesy and, you know, maybe I'm placating for the votes, but, at the same time, like, I think that this is a Ryan Walters, you know, earn that extension that hopefully he's going to get soon, and rely on your front four to get home so that you can give as much help to the back seven as you can, because of the fact that, like you said, Danny, there's a lot of injuries. Like, we're going to be on true freshman cornerbacks that are going to get, you know, 50, 60, 70% of the snaps likely. And yeah, you know, they put Quan out there at corner for a little bit in the Purdue game, but, you know, Michigan's passing attack can be very proficient. Maybe not as pass happy as Purdue's, but they have some weapons that can do damage. And not that Quan isn't a capable corner, but he's so much better as a roaming free safety or nickel or wherever you want to, you know, place him on the field. But as a straight up corner, I don't know if that's quite the spot we want him to be in for this game. So you're going to have a lot of help from, you know, your linebackers. You know, Ryan Walters is going to have to not necessarily scheme up stuff, but just like maintain the confidence in those guys, especially the, you know, the back three of Sid, Quan, and Kendall to make some plays. And that's probably ultimately what it's going to come down to, is hopefully an interception from one of those three that helps either seal the game or turn the momentum in our favor. So I think that that's going to be more of like, not necessarily a reliance, but that's going to be where the confidence comes in terms of Ryan Walters building them up. But then just from like a pure, you know, guys stepping up and being guys, it's going to have to be the law firm. They're going to have to show that they're like, you know, day one, day two NFL talent, because they have, you know, for the greater part of this year, it's like, I don't know if either of them are coming back because they are so good. I still believe that they are. That's why I'm picking them this week. But this is the perfect test. This is what you are like. Scouts can salivate all over this if you have an unreal game against a Michigan. Like, go in there, cause havoc, be as disruptive as possible. You know, get Blake Corum to, you know, less than 60 yards, make Donovan Edwards, you know, have to come in, and maybe they think that's the answer, and then he still sucks. And then you're making JJ McCarthy, who is very good, 5-star quarterback. I get that, but he's still very young. Make him not try to beat you, but make him make mistakes. Make him then have to throw a couple of lofty passes because Johnny Newton's getting in his face, and then Kendall Smith is coming down with his, you know, 20th interception of the year. That's what I think the recipe for success is this week.
All right. There's a couple picks of the week early. Mikey, do you want to expand with like a specific stat for Dark Angelo?
It's time for Mikey's specific stat of the week.
All
I'm going to say he has 12 tackles and a turnover. And now the specific of the turnover, it has not came to me yet. But if it does, I will certainly tweet it out. But it's either going to be a fumble recovery, forced fumble, or an interception. So there you have it.
Maybe all three. The Jake Hansen special.
Yeah, the Hansen hammer.
All right, I'll go with my pick of the week then, since, John, you're on the law firm. Mikey's on Dark Angelo. Give me the turnover fairy this week. We just talked about it. I'm on the turnover fairy. I think, you know, the chips are kind of stacked against us a bit here in this matchup, probably from a talent perspective. I think we're going to be competitive, but you get a couple turnovers and things swing very much, you know, positively in your favor. So we've done that for most better part of the year, I'd say. We've won turnover battles, and when we did that, we strung together a lot of wins. So you give me the turnover fairy, Tommy DeVito takes care of the ball, and we get a couple takeaways, and I like our chances.
I like that.
I think that's the first ever turnover fairy pick, if we're keeping stats on picks of the week at home.
Yeah, no, I think you'll have to tweet at the turnover fairy. Have them send some luck our way, because we'll certainly need it.
All right. Do we want to go straight to game predictions?
Let's do it. Because I know you two are in Vegas right now, getting ready to watch Illinois basketball. So oh, yeah.
It's not fully that. Basketball season for me yet when Illinois is still around. I know a lot of people jump ship after the two losses. I'm still here. And I think because this is the biggest matchup of the season, I think there's going to be a lot of people that are still tuned into this game just to see how we match up against a top three team in the country. So there's some people, if you're one of the 17, I know you're going to be tuned into this game. I know you're going to think we have a chance. I don't know. 17-point underdogs? What say you?
17-point dogs, but don't matter. We could be 50-point dogs, and I would still pick Illinois. I think the final score is going to be 17-14. It's going to be 14-14. Blake Griffin. Caleb Griffin.
That would be amazing if we got a Blake Griffin kick.
Blake Griffin dunks one through the goalpost.
Right? Yeah, right. Caleb Griffin will kick a field goal in the fourth quarter with about 8.5 to go, and we'll take it. We'll be +3 in turnovers, so the turnover fairy's going to, you know, throw some our way, and we're going to come out of the big house with a win.
Huge. John.
I can't not, you know, start the podcast off with as much fervor as I did and not pick the boys in this bounce back spot.
Wow.
I know that 17 points is a lot. I know that we're, you know, like seemingly a dead dog. But when you back them into the corner, you know, those boys are going to be fighting. And so I'm going to go Illinois 24, Michigan 23. I think they're going to have some, you know, longer drives. That's going to make the game a little bit shorter, but the guys are going to bow up. They're going to get, you know, they're going to force 3 field goals. They're going to get a couple touchdowns, but ultimately it's going to come down to not necessarily a late Caleb Griffin field goal, but we're going to have to get one in there and then, you know, just control the ball, just control the game. You know, it might be one of those where we tilt the field in the last 10 minutes of the fourth quarter or the last 10 minutes of the game. Both are the same, but just one of those where we kill a bunch of clock, maybe punt it at like the 45. They try to drive a little bit, but they only get to like the 30, and then they punt us and we just salt the game away. Because 24-23, you'd think like, oh, you know, why wouldn't they go for 2 or something like that? But I'm just saying it's going to be a close game the entire way, I think. And I think, you know, Danny, you and me being in Vegas might have to throw a couple pennies on the boys to cover the spread and maybe even win. We'll see.
Wow. I'm kind of surprised. I mean, not surprised Mikey would take Illinois, but John taking Illinois in a 17.
I love them in the spot. I legitimately love them in the spot. I think this screams upset.
I love that. I think if you're a Michigan fan and you're somehow tuned into this podcast, you're like, what is this delusional Illinois football podcast that these guys are just like, oh yeah, Illinois is about to beat Michigan. Two people have said that. I'm going to go the other way. I think it will be close. I think it will be competitive. I think there's too many injuries. I think they just have more talent than us. And I'm going to say Bielema's going to roll the dice a few times in some situations trying to press. So I don't know that we're going to get any field goals. So I'm going to say it's 24-14. I think we find the end zone a couple times. I think Michigan's probably going to find the end zone a few times. But, you know, a couple turnovers go our way, and that very well could flip. So I'm going to go with the conservative pick, and I'm going to say Michigan's going to win this game by 10. I think we cover. I think we're competitive. I think it's a pretty good showing from us, but I don't know that we're going to come home with a win.
I hope you're wrong, Dan.
It's a sour note to leave you guys on.
Hopefully we can start the podcast booing you for our reaction like we did again. What was it, Iowa or Wisconsin, which one? But who cares? Hopefully that's the general theme when we get back. I hope you're wrong every single time.
All I'll say is that's my honest prediction. You know, at the end of the day, I'm rooting for the team. I don't want to see us lose, but when I assess it from my biased like evaluation chair, I'm trying to think of, you know, Vegas has the number at 17 for a reason. There is a discrepancy in the talent. Michigan's a very good team. We've obviously been a pretty good team this year, aside from the past couple weeks. So I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, a 17-point underdog finds a way to win and shock the nation. And to your point, it is a little bit of a trap game, if we want to call it that, for Michigan.
Trap game.
This game matters to the college football playoff conversation, but in terms of, you know, winning the Big Ten, they can lose this game and then go win next week against Ohio State and make it off the tiebreaker and then, you know, play whoever it may be, maybe Illinois again in a Big Ten championship game if things fall our way. So it starts with this one. You got to go to Ann Arbor. You got to get a win to have any chance still, you know, any fighting chance at a Big Ten West and a potential Big Ten championship. So it's not over till it's over. But we'll see how it plays out. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Field Pass. We appreciate it. As always, you can check us out on social media. We are at The Field Pass. We'll be on Twitter, live tweeting the game. If you like this, leave us a comment, give us a like, send us a message. We always appreciate the interaction. Thank you as always, and go Illini.